But here's where we're at is, let me get to my notes. Is back in September, Mr. Berkovich filed a grammar request requesting a copy of the memo and the exhibits that I provided to the council back on the October 21st, 2015 session where we met to determine whether or not to discuss his employment. I realize several of you, Greg and Scott, it was Commissioner Squire. So Greg, Scott, Haley did not have the benefit of seeing that, but I don't know that it necessarily matters. The memo was pretty detailed. It was actually 29 pages long. It included a summary of incidents that happened between Ed and I, between Marilyn and Ed. It summarized all of the enclosures that I provided. So like I said, Ed filed a request, a grammar request. The Lonnie Pearson, the grammar attorney here at the AG's office, responded back claiming that the records were protected under the attorney-client privilege as well as client confidentiality. Then Ed filed an appeal to that with the State Records Committee, and they've set it for a hearing on December 14th. I don't know what time, we're just sometime on December 14th. I met with Lonnie last week, and he provided me with a recent opinion from the State Records Committee. It's the Attorney General's Office versus, Lee Davidson versus the Utah Attorney General's Office, and then referred me to a 2008 Utah Supreme Court case. With those two cases, he said that it's probably an extreme long shot for us to prevail at the State Records Committee. In the Davidson hearing before the State Records Committee, it was just earlier this year, what was being requested was a copy of an opinion letter that was written by the Attorney General's office. It was requested by the state legislature regarding the special election to replace Representative. Just a second. Hey, Steve. Okay, so.
Have you guys already met?
We're starting right now. Well, I've just okay. Barely gotten to the summary. Okay, so Garside's on my cell phone.
I can call back into the other one if you want me to.
That might be easier, then that way Okay. Everybody else can hear your comments.
Okay, and do not send out that job posting. There was a huge mistake in it.
In which posting? The job posting. Oh, yeah, no, I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
All right, we'll wait for you to call in on the other line.
All right, calling in. Just a minute.
Okay, thanks. Steve
Garside.
Okay, so let me just pick up where I left off. I've already explained this to Steve and Barry last week. But in this Davidson opinion, the Attorney General's office classified this opinion letter as records prepared by an attorney in anticipation of litigation, a judicial or quasi-judicial or administrative proceeding. The Records Committee, they didn't really give any legal reason why they disagreed with that. They just simply said that the record is not, or they were not convinced that at the time the letter was prepared, the opinion letter was prepared for an anticipation of litigation. That's all they said. And so Lonnie, asked when I drafted this memo and put together the enclosures, were we in anticipating any litigation? And I have to honestly say that we were not, because it was just whether, you know, to determine Ed's continued employment status. I know that we discussed the possibility that if he were let go, would he sue? But, you know, if I'm asked by the Records Committee, I don't know that I can, with a straight face, say that I prepared the memo in anticipation of litigation or an administrative hearing. In the Supreme Court case at Southwestern Wilderness Alliance versus the Automated Geographic Reference Center, it's a division of the information technology for the state. It was a similar thing. They claimed protected status by the work product doctrine, as well as by the attorney-client privilege. And in this case, it goes into much more, you know, case analysis. But the bottom line for that one is the documents have to be prepared for use in pending and imminent litigation. And so again, I don't know that I'm going to be able to, you know, claim that it's that's what we prepared it for. And then in terms of the attorney-client privilege, let me see, where's my notes on that? That was just Lonnie asking me, is what is my relationship with the council? Am I your attorney or your employee? You know, and do I provide you legal advice? And I think, you know, I can make an argument to that effect, but he still thinks with this Records Committee that it's not going to be a great argument, to be tenuous at best, if we were to prevail. Earlier today, I did some additional research looking at Grandma. I'm not sure why we didn't categorize it as a record of a closed meeting, because those minutes are protected, under the Grandma statute. If Ed wanted to challenge the legality of that closed meeting, he could take us to district court and get a court order ordering that the records be unclassified and reclassified as public. So there's that possibility, Lonnie said that I can, in my response memo to the board, that I can raise this as a new issue since the government can reclassify records at any time. So that might be a better argument. Let's see, what else did I need to tell you? Anyway, so that's where we're at. So my question to the council is, do you want me to spend the time to draft a response to Ed's memo and argue this before the State Records Committee with a, you know, very likely possibility that we would lose and he would prevail? I'm fine doing that. I just don't know that I want to give Ed any kind of a moral victory before any kind of a administrative or quasi-judicial panel, you know, to have them rule for him and against us. But I'm willing to do that. So that's where I'm at. I talked to Steve Garside and Barry Huntington last week, and they recommended that we convene the council, so that's why we're here. So I'm looking for guidance.
Another thing that I'd mentioned to Bob is that I thought that we were locked into the classification that the AG had made on it, and I was hoping that they would give us a little bit more flexibility. For example, you know, the notes that are in there, obviously notes that are not a completed product or that have not been relied upon, could have been redacted. And so I don't know what the council's feeling on is, whether we want to fight this or whether we don't care what is released. Bob, have you already told him basically the essence of the contents of the records that he wants?
Yeah, I can go over that in a little more detail. Like I said, it was the 29-page memo that I drafted. It's got, it's just a narration here. Let me go through real fast. So, talked about Ed's employment status, just verifying that he's a non-merit employee. Just that there's some history between Ed and Marilyn, a brief overview of that, and then I went into specific events. There was an event that took place on July 10th through the 14th of 2014. This was the incident that I witnessed personally, where Ed blew up at Marilyn up at the law school. Then we've got an affidavit from my law clerk that was there, and then a summary of what happened after that, my conversations with Ed and Marilyn, and ultimately leading up to the investigation that was completed by the Attorney General's office. Let's see. summarized my conversations with Ed and Chris Knowlton, that had some advice for me, summarized my conversation briefly with J. Francis Villarga. He was the employment specialist here at the AG's office. He doesn't work here anymore. And so that took up 13 pages of the memo. Then Marilyn had provided me some documents that I summarized and included them. Let's see. I summarized my discussion with Ed in light of my meeting with Greg and Christine and with J. Francis. I talked about an email that he had sent to Mark. I don't have the date right off the top of my head, but he had sent Mark a rather lengthy email that was really very unprofessional. He included all of the UPC staff. He sent it to Scott Reed. And so I addressed that, or summarized that, and included a copy of that email. I talked about how he disagrees with my grammar. He talked, and then I reported on the incident that took place at the training committee in October of 2015, that several of you, or some of you, were there and witnessed that. And then again, summarized my subsequent meetings with Ed, talking about what the course of action was going to be. I told him that we were going to convene the council after talking with Steve Foote and Steve Garside. Talked a little bit about the facts, told him to wait. You know, he came in the Monday morning after we got back from that training meeting and thought he was going to be fired right then and had started packing up his office, but I told him he needed to wait and see what the council's decision was. Went again and talked again to Jay Francis. And then I summarized a couple pages of my thoughts and comments. And then the rest of it are the enclosures. So the first enclosure was the offer of employment to Ed, indicating that he was, or identifying him as, an at-will employee. The second attachment was a summary of the notes of my conversation with Mark Nash that I had in July of 2014. The next tab is that lengthy email that Ed sent to Mark and everyone else that I had a lot of heartburn with. Let's see. The next one was a statement that Marilyn provided to me, that I think she provided to the Attorney General, to the investigators, summarizing what had happened between her and Ed. And then the last email was, again, email correspondence between Ed, Marilyn, Mark, and others. So that's what he's requesting.
Yeah, I mean, I see this. I mean, this is, it's a tough one because, I mean, like you said, if we lose this, he gets that, but if we give him the information, you know, what is he going to do that? It's just to surprise me. I'm concerned. And I told him this to his, you know, we had a long conversation. I told him, you know, you've got to let this go. It's going to canker your soul. And he gave me some example of, or some explanation as to the way that he had been able to separate himself from this. But obviously he has not. So anyway, I'll shut up and let some of the other counsel speak.
Hey, Bob, this is Scott.
Uh-huh.
So your concern is if you attempt to reclassify it per the grandma statute as protected, that we will lose this?
Well, no, sorry. They currently did protect it using the attorney-client privilege and the work product privilege. And the research that Lonnie provided to me suggests that we will lose on both of those. What I found earlier this afternoon is one of the other reasons to minutes of closed meetings are already protected. Of course, they can be reclassified. You know, Ed's contention all along is that it was an illegal closed meeting, and so, you know, if we go with that classification, if in my memo back to the Records Committee, I can raise this issue that they're protected records because they're minutes of a closed meeting. I don't know.
But they're not the minutes. They're documents that were provided for the council to discuss.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, correct? No, you're right. You're right. Sorry. So we may not. I'd have to look and see if we can there's any traction on that, because he already actually has received the minutes from the closed meeting. I don't know why I didn't think about that sooner. Can you answer that for me?
It sounds to me like the only issue there that I think you could probably still protect would be your conversation with the employment law guy at the AG's office, because that is reasonably anticipated of litigation.
Well, then that would, and that would clearly be attorney-client privilege.
Right, because yeah. That's the discussion that you had with your attorney, the attorney there, in regards to what's going to happen if something happens here, what is his situation as far as
right.
an employee.
Right.
So I think that is clearly protected, but the rest of it would be just like here in my county, if I have a grievance filed against an employee, he's going to be able to get copies of that grievance.
Right.
In order to defend himself in any hearing or something like that. I think that's probably going to come out.
Well, but the difference there is that you know, your guys are protected and they get to have that hearing. Ed was at will, and so we don't have to give him a basis for his termination. We just the only have to do is give him a name clearing
right.
hearing, and we've done that. I guess is there any of that information that's going to give him additional ammunition to badmouth UPC and staff?
Well, that's, I'm sure that he will look at, like, for, you know, my summary of events, my factual recitation, and disagree with them, accuse me of lying and or manipulating the facts or whatever. I mean, I'm anticipating that will be the case. I tried to make these notes contemporaneous when they happened, but my guess is he's going to dispute them.
Well, the disputation is going to be, he's going to pull one fact out of a list of 20
right.
and say, this one is clearly a lie, therefore right. the whole thing is a lie. That's just where he's at this point.
Right, right.
It's only a matter of, I just want to exact some sort of vengeance here because I am better than this. That's
right. I mean, I don't know what else he...
What? This is Robert Coulson down in St. George. So what happens to the scheduled hearing if we just agree to turn over, maybe not all of it, the employment stuff,
right.
talking to the employment attorney?
Right.
What happens to that hearing as far as taking away the form that he...
It goes away.
Yeah, it goes away.
All we have to submit a letter to the tribunal that we've supplied the document.
Well, actually, okay, never having done this, let me back up, is if I do redact the summary of the conversation with Jay Francis, the employment attorney, he may still have grounds for that, but then that would be isolated to just those portions which I think could be defended
right.
in front of the records committee. So, yeah, I may still have to appear at a hearing, but it would just be on that, you know, those small portions.
Is there anything in there that's a matter of concern?
No, no.
I mean, because my recollection is Jay simply said, you know, he is at will, and he gave us some recommendations on how to proceed.
Right, right. No, I mean, I'm not, you know, unless the council were to say to redact those, yeah, there's nothing in there that is going to get anybody in trouble or that I would in the end have a problem with Ed Singh.
Well, it sounds like the assessment at this point is that this is just going to give him a further forum. I mean,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's been, you know, he said 2015, so we're talking, it's been 2 years. Do we just rip the Band-Aid off and let him do with it what he wants to? And anybody that sees that will realize that, oh, man, this is 2 years old, Ed, get over it.
Right. I mean, and really,
we hold fast.
And these are the last documents that he does not have. He'll have everything else by this point. So I don't know what else he would try to grammar, but hopefully this would mean the end of the grammar requests from him.
Well, hey, this is Scott again.
Uh-huh.
My experience with grammar, you know, you have these situations and you think you're actually feeding the fire, but I've found through my experience it puts it out. And I don't think we're not afraid of any of the information, then I don't see the harm in just giving it to him, let him chew on it, and he'll most likely go away, I think.
Yeah. I mean, my only concern is you know, for Marilyn, some of the, I mean, everything that she has told me, you know, the council's aware of. It's just, you know, I don't care what he says about me. I just don't, you know, want to see more attacks against Marilyn.
Well, unfortunately,
right. No, we just have to.
I think we all feel that same way, I'm sure. But
right. No, we just have to thicken up our skins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anybody on the council that wants to go through that package again? I remember. I mean, I know we all did it 2 years ago, but I don't know if anybody is concerned enough that they want to review that before they make a decision on this.
I'm okay.
I'm good, and I agree with Member Stevenson. We aren't really worried about anything in there. Let's give it to him, and it's not going to get him his job back, and it's not going to change our position.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Do you want to put it to a vote, Steve?
Yeah, let's go ahead and have a motion and a vote. We'll do a voice vote on this one.
I'll move to go ahead and give him the documents he's requested through Grandma. That way, we don't have to deal with the hearing. We haven't changed our classification for anything in the future. We'll give it to him under that basis.
I'll second that, Scott.
All right. Motion by Stephen Foote, seconded by Scott, to release the information with the understanding that that does not prevent us from reclassifying anything in the future. Any further discussion on that motion? All right, let's do a voice vote. Whoever is on the line, go ahead.
Aye.
Who's that?
That was Stephen Foote.
Okay, Stephen.
Yeah.
Aye from Harris.
Jan
aye from Scott.
Aye from Scott Stevenson, huh?
Aye from Robert Croson.
Okay.
Aye from Haley Christensen.
Okay. Anybody else?
Greg.
Greg Fairbrush abstain. Our office already made a finding.
Okay. All right.
Or made a decision.
All right. I'll vote aye as well.
Okay. All right. I'll work with Lonnie. Yeah. So I'll work with Lonnie, and I've talked to him a little bit about it, that this may be how the council goes, so I'll get a hold of him, and he'll take care of it.
All right. All right, thanks for bringing us together, Bob. Any other things that anybody wants to say?
I would just say, tell Marilyn we have our back, and he's not going to cause her any problems.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, everybody. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
All right.
Okay.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.